You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 23rd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Chantel. How you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing pretty well. Happy to be here. Hello.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 24. In the house, and we had a veto ceremony. We had some blow ups that weren't on the feeds, and we had some parties that weren't on the feeds. But we also had some conversations that were on the feeds.
That is true. And you know what? I'm here for conversations and gossip. And
there you go.
Strategizing. So it's all good.
All right. Well, let's get straight into it then. It's mostly just sort of if yesterday and, you know, the last couple days have been just chaos of moving pieces everywhere, continuing to go in circles, things are starting to settle in a little bit. And they are going in the direction that I was guessing that they would, at least for now. So nothing too out of the ordinary yet. We'll see. We started the day. Austin still had not been told by Kiefer that she was going up on the block. Which was quite annoying to her because that was the one thing he said that he would do.
Well, yeah. And it's kind of like, I just don't know why he won't even, you know, just keep with that agreement that he made. Like, he already kind of went back on not nominating her. And he did just say, like, hey, like, I'll let you know. I'll give you a heads up if it ends up being you. So why not follow through with that if she already thinks that it's a possibility?
Yeah. It's not great. It's not great. Kiefer is going to tell Ro eventually here in the morning that, all right, Ro, Austin is going on the block. Kyle is the target. And he lays it all out. He says that, you know, that Tina and Tara ratted you out. They said that you went to them saying that they should push Vic, that you were supposed to be looking out for Vic. And yeah, I'm not putting Vic up.
I love how, like, so far with Victoria and with Kiefer's head of house, so it's like, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Like, you did this to yourself. And it's kind of like, just take some ownership. You're not working with them in the game. Like, you want them out. You don't have to pretend like it's their fault. They didn't do anything wrong other than not be in your alliance and be on your side.
Yeah. It's, it's okay. Because here's the thing. The idea behind it is sound. You do want to say, like, if you can get this to be put on other people, that's great. If Kiefer can imply in some way that Ty and Jed manipulated him into making this move, then that's great for Kiefer's immediate game at the very least. It won't be great for his end game because he needs respect in the game. But that's something that Steve did in the house, right? Like, he pretended that Vanessa manipulated him in his HOH. And he cried about it and nobody blamed him at all. Right. That's a move that you can do. You can also say that it was kind of a house consensus and that you're just going with the house. That can't work in a split house, though, because everyone knows there is no house consensus in a split house. Or you can just own it and you can just be like, this is my move. What are you going to do about it? What you should not do is try to gaslight people into thinking it's their own fault, or try for some middle road where you're saying the house made me do this. The guys manipulated me into doing it also. And also, I think it's your fault, Ro, for having done what you did.
Well, and it's not like he had Rose's point. Like, I really haven't done anything for this to be my fault. Like, stop saying that. It'd be really frustrating if I was Ro here or Kyle here. Like, I'd just be like, yeah, I'd be annoyed.
Yeah. And that's what and that's the end result, is that it really frustrates the people that you're doing this to. And I am a big believer in, all right, okay, you were just nominated, you were just targeted, and the real reason you're annoyed is the way that they went about it. But there is some truth to the idea that, you know, the way that you target somebody, the way that you nominate them, will have lasting impacts. Obviously, when somebody says in the diary room after that, when Ro says, you know, it's fine that he nominated me, but if he, it's just the thing that he said when he did it, like, okay, that's nonsense. But a couple weeks from now, if Ro is saying, I need to take out Kiefer because he's got personal beef with me and he will nominate me every time because that's how he feels based on how he was treated the first time around, that's not good. That's not good as your HOH.
Exactly. It seems like people are not really thinking that far ahead. It's like they're pretending like they are, but they're not actually. Like, you still have to have people like you and want you to win in the end and want you to do well, like to a certain degree in this game. And it seems like everybody's just really drawing that line, making enemies and pretending like it's not happening.
Yes. Well, Ro is, of course, going to go and give everyone else the heads up that they've been ratted out when it comes to Vic. Then Austin and Brayden are both going to talk to Vic separately, and apologize for saying her name. Everyone is basically going to have the same story, which is, look, I thought it was you or me. For Brayden, it's, I thought it was you or Austin. And so I said your name. I'm sorry. Ro is going to have a conversation with Austin, where they talk about, like, the information that Kiefer brought to Ro, really, it was a little too much information, I think, because Ro now knew exactly what was happening and why people were not trusting each other within the Oddballs, right? He now knows that Tina and Tara ratted them out. He now knows that the reason Vic is mad at them is because they've been ratted out. And so he's like, okay, we've all been tricked. We need to get the band back together, guys. Like, this helped kind of solidify Ro back in with Austin Brayden. And they're going to be working on Tina and Tara again. And they are also going to be working on trying to get Vic back. But that, at this point, seems like a lost cause.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. Like, obviously, you don't want your numbers to disband. I just don't know if they have the tools to be able to do it. Just listening to them talk all day, and I'm sure we're going to get into, like, the conversation with Victoria, et cetera. Like, it doesn't seem like they know how to explain the position that they're in, explain how it's better for them all to be working together without sounding condescending and kind of just disrespectful. So good idea, but execution zero, I would say.
Yeah. So Kyle and Ro gonna get their story straight together about with Vic, or about Vic. They're not gonna talk to her yet. And Kiefer is gonna talk with Beth and Ty about next week, hopeful ideas about, like, look, if they come for me, hopefully they put Vic up on the block next to me, right? And then we can just send Vic home. That would be easy.
I mean, to be fair, that would be, like, my ideal situation. I know that she's pretty messy and everybody's just kind of loving the feeds that she's bringing. But I didn't really enjoy her head of household reign last week. There's something about it that just frustrated me too much that I personally, if I was in the house, I'd be like, she's got to go out of here. So that would be an ideal situation because I'm not minding Kiefer's HOH as much.
Well,
it could be because they were kind of on the bottom now, and so just having a shift of power, maybe that's why I'm preferring Kiefer's, but we'll see next week.
So Ro is going to take himself off the block in the veto ceremony, and Austin is, of course, the replacement nominee. So prior to the veto ceremony, there were two different plans. One plan was from Vic. She planned on calling out Kyle, because she's pissed at Kyle, and you know, Vic wants her. It failed with Beth. She wants her big ceremony call out moment. And so she's going to call out Kyle for saying her name. That's the plan. Kyle is pissed at Kiefer and he wants to call out Kiefer. And he has some things to say about Kiefer and how he's a coward and you know, so on and so forth. Right. How dare you nominate me? I guess I don't know exactly what his problem is with Kiefer other than the fact that, you know, he was wishy-washy about his explanation and all that. So two different people planning on calling out two different people. Apparently what happened is Kyle started to call out Kiefer and then Vic interrupted. Hey, no, this is my time. And she interrupted to call out Kyle, at which point Kyle pulled a Beth and was like, I'm not doing this, Vic. And he walked away.
I'm just loving that people are not taking the bait here. Like it's kind of funny just to see someone that really wants to get something going and then like the other person's just not allowing it to happen. So I really hope they show this on the, you know, the episode, because I would like to see how that went down.
I'm sure they will. I mean, it's strange to me that I don't think I've ever seen somebody lose call out credibility so quickly.
I mean, I've never really seen that before. It usually works.
Yeah.
So it's new.
Like Aiko with Kevin toward the end of the season, right? But that was just because it was Kevin. Like Kevin just wouldn't react to anything. But like Vic can't call anybody out. Like nobody's taking the bait.
I hope this is like a running gag now. Like, I hope like every week she wants to call somebody out and it just doesn't work.
You can't. Well, you can't manufacture call outs. They have to be natural. They have to be real. And so when she's trying to manufacture these moments, people are just like, Vic, just stop. Why are you doing this? We don't care.
Well, yeah, and especially like with the Beth one, the lie, I think, about it is mm-hmm. is why it doesn't work. You know, if like kind of like you're saying, like if it was truthful that she's super pissed about something and like they really did something wrong and it wasn't just to create the moment, it probably would be more effective. But it's fake.
Yeah. So after the ceremony, we come back to a big conversation. You know, Ro and Kyle, they love to talk in the ball pit room. And so they're in the ball pit room with Vic. This is post ceremony after Vic tried to call Kyle out, and instead they're going to have this conversation quietly in the ball pit room. Ro and Kyle are apologizing, explaining why they said her name to Kiefer. It's again like, look, we were led to believe that it was our only option. We were led to believe that the only options were Vic goes on the block and Vic goes home, or Austin goes out on the block and Kyle goes home. And so obviously we talked through scenarios. We said that, you know, Austin has somebody in the game. Other people, they have other people in the game. You know, Vic is kind of out. She doesn't have a pair, but we did not hard pitch you, Vic. We did not throw you under the block. It was not a hard pitch. And you know, and that's all it was. That's kind of the explanation. And we're very sorry. You know, we were led to believe it was our only option, and we got tricked. We got tricked, you know, and that's just it.
Well, I appreciate what they were trying to do here. Obviously you want to get people back on your side after the dust has settled a little bit, but like they just kept on being like, no, we were handcuffed. Kyle is my number one. You're my number two. Like we have to stay together. And these are truthful things that he's saying, but the how, there's something about the how. And he kept on saying it over and over again that I felt as though he was kind of making Victoria feel dumb about her, how she might be feeling about things going on in the house. And that Jed and Ty are these mastermind manipulators, and that Kiefer is just following these two guys that he wants to be in cool with. And I think it's taking away her credibility of making her own decisions. And I don't think it's working at all. And so they just kept on looping around saying the same things over and over again. And I don't think it was actually like really resonating with her.
Yeah. And I mentioned this yesterday on the recap, but I felt like Kyle was approaching it at a decent pace, right? Like he was mostly focusing on the, again, like Kyle is a much better apologizer than Ro. And you know, he's like, look, I know I'm going home. I have nothing to gain from this conversation. You are voting me out. Everyone is voting me out. I get it. But I want the best for you guys. And I am so sorry for what happened. I feel so bad. I felt so bad. You know, when you came and talked to us in the Expedia room, I went to the diary room after. I was nearly in tears. I was just like, what am I doing? You know, I almost wanted to go home. And then when Kiefer said that Austin was going to go up, I was like, that's fine. Like, I'm fine. I've accepted my fate here. And you know, I'm just really sorry that we got tricked into doing this. And it was our bad, for buying into what they were doing to us. And then you have Ro, cause Kyle's kind of like laying in the ball pit, kind of speaking normally, but then you've Ro like leaning on the, edge of the ball pit, like right next to her, whispering in her, wow. And you, the thing you have to understand is that I'm willing to take a bullet for you. And it's like, but it's like, I'm willing to take two bullets for Kyle, but I'm willing to take one bullet for you. But now Kyle's gone. So it's like, I'm willing to take a bullet for you now, Vic. And so you can't work with those other people because they are the master manipulators. If you work with them, you will be helping them steamroll the house and they're going to win this whole game. You need to work with me. We need to work together. You can't let them. This is exactly what they want. It's exactly what they want. You can't give them what they want. They've made us look like fools. And then you've got Kyle like, yeah, we're just so sorry. We're just so sorry for it. And then you have Vic, who is like the easiest person in the world to read once you understand who she is, which is that she is always genuine. With how she's acting toward you, not with what she's saying toward you, but with how she's acting toward you. And Vic's response here is so blatantly not having it. She is like, yeah, well, okay. That's fine. Yep. I mean, well, the thing for me is that at least Austin and Brayden had the decency to admit to me that they were doing it. And you guys just lied to my face. Okay. Yeah. I'm your number one. Great. All right. Fine. Love it. Like she couldn't be more blatantly shutting you down. And they're just like, here's the thing. You should continue to work on you, continue to placate the other side. Let them think that you're on their side, but you cannot actually be on their side because they will steamroll this game. You cannot actually work for them. You can pretend to, you'll keep them. They'll keep you safe. They'll come after us instead. That's fine. Or me instead of in Rose's case. And that's fine. Just don't tell them about this conversation. Just do not actually work for them. She's like, okay. And she goes upstairs and she talks to Ty and Keith and she lets them know about the conversation.
I know, directly after. And she had like an open kind of like conversation with them. So I was like, okay, she's actually more loyal to the ex-scent setters.
Yeah.
My question is, Kyle keeps on calling Jed and Ty pieces of crap. And was there something specific that happened that I've missed for them to be so against them and think that they're such bad people? Because like I haven't seen, especially Ty, I haven't seen him do any, or either of them, I haven't seen them do really do anything.
Well, I think in Kyle's case, or in really both of their cases, I think it's more just like a turn of phrase kind of thing, because they do also say a lot like, nothing against Ty and Jed. They're playing the game. We get it, right? They're playing well. And they make a point of saying, like, no hard feelings toward them. definitely hard feelings toward Kiefer. That guy's terrible. So I think that if they are saying like, oh, they're pieces of, you know, ball pits or whatever, I don't know. Then that's, I think that's probably them just how he probably just how he talks when he's mad about a person doing something. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. Cause I'm just was like, what have they done? Oh my gosh. Like, I feel so bad for them. They're just like, I don't even feel like they are strategizing and that they're doing all this that they're getting credit for right now. They're just kind of like hanging out, listening to music in the head of household room and flirting with Beth. Like, they're really just not playing in, from what I've seen, as hard as they're giving him credit for. I'm sure it's just to try to convince Victoria to like come on their side. But like, I don't know, switch it up. Maybe ask Victoria, because she likes to be in the know and be involved in the conversation. Ask her what he needs to do to stay in the damn game. Like, ask her to give you the advice instead of telling her what she needs to do. I think
definitely. I mean, and here's the thing. This is one of those, and I think this is really a row problem. I've said it. He's kind of too business. He talks all the time about how he's a rational player, and I think that like, there's something that you know that I can appreciate about that, but you can't just be a rational player all the time if what you mean by rational player is I'm stripping away the emotions, because you know what, it's rational to include emotion in your game because people have emotions. It's irrational to think that you can be without emotions. And so when Ro is, you know, trying to tell Victoria, like, this is how it is. You need to do this or you need to not do this. Like, he's correct. Vic shouldn't work for the other side. They are more loyal to each other, way more loyal to each other than they are to Vic. Vic was in a much better position when she was on the oddball side because it was a series of pairs and she was the one that was going to be the safest. Whereas the Sunsetter side is a group of four people who will all take her out first and leave her out to dry. Now, the oddball side obviously also left her out to dry, but that's just where she's positioned herself in the game. At least at the oddball side, she was working with people who were not quite as good at competitions, probably. And she could pair up, or she could trio up with some of the pairs to take out other pairs. And she had some space to maneuver. If she actually works with the Sunsetter side, she's going to find herself in a very bad position, and she is going to help them kind of steamroll this game. If she wins an HOH and actually goes after Ro like she kind of wants to, that's not going to be good for her. Ro is completely correct when he gives her that layout. But just because you're right doesn't mean that people will listen to you or accept it. You need to present it in the right way. And I think you're completely correct, Chantal, that you can't tell Vic what to do. You can't tell her what's right and what's wrong. You can't tell her that she's making the wrong call. She's the one that is going to drive her own ship, captain her own ship. And so, you know, if you want her to go somewhere, you need to ask her where she wants to go. And you need to sort of like get her to go, you know what I should do? I should come over here. And I think that's probably also pretty difficult, but at least it's not just trying to tell her that she should do something. Cause I feel like Vic is the kind of person, not only will she not accept it if you tell her to do something, but she will probably just go ahead and do the opposite. Just because she wants to spite you.
So defiant.
Yeah,
exactly. I was talking yesterday about maybe they should be considering weaponizing Vic because she's, like you said, she's so easily, like, you can read her so well and you can to say things and have her do things without her really knowing. It is possible to kind of maneuver her. And so I wish that they were using that angle with Vic, make her feel as though she's powerful, make her feel that she's making these big moves, these big decisions, that she's going to be known on the show, like really appeal to that side of her and then get her to do your dirty work. But they're not appealing to the sides of Vic that will get her to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's really, I mean, again, Vic tells Ty and Keith about her conversation with Ro and Kyle. So now they know about that. They're like, what are they doing? They really think they can get Vic back? Come on. Ro, Kyle, Austin, and Brayden are going to talk about kind of their plans for the next week. Again, the two sides are basically solidifying back together to some degree. So in broad strokes here, Kyle should still be leaving this week. But Ro, Austin, and Brayden will definitely still be together. They are going after guys. And by the guys, I mean Ty and Jed, but maybe also Kiefer, because Austin and Brayden might go after Kiefer. And Beth could be thrown in there as a pawn or something along those lines. They all agree that Ty is the bigger threat, and that Ty would be the person that they target over Jed in that case. But again, Austin and Brayden might actually go after Kiefer. Tina and Tara are also with them. They have been ratted out to some degree, but that doesn't matter because they are needed in this group. They will also be going after Ty and Jed. Less so Kiefer. And I would also imagine that Tina and Tara would try to protect Kiefer in the same way that Kiefer would try to protect Tina and Tara with Ty and Jed. Tina and Tara would try to protect Kiefer with Austin and Brayden. So it's again, like, who knows exactly who the target ends up being, but it's basically that group of five, Tina, Tara, Austin, Brayden, Ro, all going for the HOH, trying to target Ty, Jed, Kiefer, Beth. And then you have Ty, Jed, Kiefer, and Beth all going for it to try to target Ro. And Austin are the two main targets right now. But Tina and Tara, in the same way that Vic could easily be used as a pawn anywhere from any side, Tina and Tara could easily end up on the block from the Sunsetter side if things go a certain way. Ultimately, the targets are a little bit more concentrated on the oddball side, where it's Ro and Austin are the two main targets there. It seems a lot less likely that it would spill out to like a Brayden, Tina, or Tara. Whereas on the Sunsetter side, I think it could be Ty, Jed, Kiefer, or even Beth at this point. So I don't even know. And Vic could end up, honestly, Vic could end up going home under any circumstance. Who knows what happens there, right?
Well, yeah, I think with Vic, too, is that she isn't making anybody feel completely secure with having her loyalty. And so because she's so kind of flippant, you know, she just makes irrational decisions. I can see them just putting her up just to like know what she's doing. So I could see that happening for sure with anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of that, you do have people because again, it's like, I want to reiterate kind of what I did yesterday, which is that, you know, maybe things are settling a little bit, but even if they get completely settled this week, things will change next week. Not only because the house is so fluid, but also because the players are so all over the place. And so, you know, maybe the target right now is Austin and Ro, but you have Tara talking to Beth last night saying, yeah, what if we kept Kyle this week so he can go after Ty and Jed for us? Listen to those names carefully again. Tara telling Beth that maybe they should keep Kyle to go after Ty and Jed for them. And also lets Beth know that you may have heard that I was saying I would put you on the block. That was just a test I was throwing out there. And Beth's like, no, I hadn't really heard that. So, you know, Tara could very easily end up on the block. This could pull Tina down with her. Tara and Tina could end up on the block. If Tara's coming after Ty and Jed, why wouldn't Tina be? So this information is, of course, already gotten back. And so maybe Tara will end up being a target. Maybe they'll feel like they can make a peace treaty with Ro again. Who knows? Jed did talk to Austin yesterday, and he let her know that, look, I had nothing to do with you going on the block. That was all Kiefer. I told him, if you want to make a decision, you can make a decision. I still like you and I don't want you going anywhere. And Austin was like, okay. And that's when she talked to Brayden. She was like, Kiefer's guy. I hate Kiefer. He's our target.
I mean, they just don't really vibe. I don't mind Kiefer. I don't mind his HOH. But I think it's just because he doesn't do what they want. He's not on their side, and he doesn't explain it the way that they want to be explained, like why they're going up on the block. You know, they're just not playing the same way. I get it, but I don't think he's doing that horrible of a job to hate him, you know?
I've said it before. I think Kiefer is probably the most strategically sound player in the house, which is not saying a lot. But the social game for Kiefer is a massive detriment to his game. And I think his ultimate loyalty to the Sunsetters will also be very, very bad for him. So, you know, there's, again, a lot going on, but it's so fluid that it's probably like nothing is really going to matter a lot until we know who the next HOH is going to be, because things change so much. So I think that what really matters is like who would definitely not put somebody on the block, and that is the Sunsetters are not going to put each other on the block. Vic at this time does seem like she is with the Sunsetters. She would not put them up on the block. She would probably put the other side up on the block, but again, who knows? And then you have the Oddballs would not put each other on the block. Oddballs minus Vic at this point, they would put some combination of Sunsetters and or Vic, depending on what kind of circumstances are going on there. So look, nobody is safe in this house. Not a single soul. Anybody could go up on the block. Anybody could go home. And where that blast shows up just depends on which side wins HOH at this point. So that's kind of where we leave off the day. Chantel, was there anything that you wanted to bring up from yesterday?
Not really. Like, I feel like the whole time, all that I watched was Ro and Kyle talking to Vic. Like, I feel like, I'm like, did I see this already? I'm like, I felt like it was on a loop. So not really.
Yes. Well, there has already been some silliness going on this morning. So first of all, the feeds went, part of the reason why this is a shorter update is the feeds were down for the night. They had a party. We've gotten a little bit of chatter about what the party was. Kyle and Austin have continued to get close. Maybe something, I don't know. Who knows? Beth and Jed continue to get closer as well. I mentioned this last night, but Ty is retreating further and further away from the triangle as Beth and Jed get closer and closer. So that's something to pay attention to as well. I don't know if that will help Ty because he is currently still seen as the bigger threat. And if they start to see that Beth is closer to Jed, maybe Jed will become the bigger target. But it's definitely going to, it's going to have some sort of impact here. We're also apparently this morning, Beth has been talking about what if we did keep Kyle? What if, let's consider it. And I'm just like, Beth, the Sunsetters cannot help themselves.
I think it's that they don't believe that it's possible that the two boys don't want to work with them. Like, I just don't think that they're just like, they've probably always been cool. They've probably always been, you know, popular, always been on the sports team. Like, working with guys is normal for them. That they just don't see that it's possible that these two guys could be targeting them. Because it's just like, don't do it. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I very much doubt this will actually happen, mostly because, Kiefer would need to be on board, if it were to happen again. I don't think they would do this without Kiefer. So far it's just been talks. It's also a terrible idea for pretty much all of them. So, it does not seem, particularly likely. But there's definitely a chance that they end up screwing themselves up over this. I think, should we do it? Should we talk to Tina and Tara about this? And then it gets back to Austin, and then they still end up voting Kyle out, and now Austin's even more pissed, and who knows? Who knows at this point?
I saw there's a little bit of Austin braiding Kyle's hair. When did they start getting kind of close and more of like a plus friends kind of situation?
I would say sort of toward the end of last week, there was, you know, Kyle was flirting with Austin in the beginning of the game. She doesn't really accept that. She doesn't really take in the flirtiness. So he kind of started approaching differently, more of a friend angle. And that was much more effective. And then they slowly became closer and closer. Toward the end of last week, I was catching and saying on the updates, like Austin and Vic, like talking about Kyle a lot. Like Austin keeps talking about what a great guy Kyle is. Like, she was starting to really feel like Kyle is a great guy. Kyle's smart. He, you know, he comes up with all the plans. What a cool person. And Vic is like, oh, and he's so cute, right? I had a dream about what I made out with him. And she's like, oh yeah, really? I bet he'd be a better kisser than Ty or whatever. And so there's something there, but it's not actually there. And I don't think that, I think that if Austin had her way, nothing would ever actually be there, especially on TV. But there's, you know, a little bit of something there.
And last question, who do you think would make the most interesting head of household week?
That's a good question, actually. For the power to remain, for the game to remain relatively even, I think that the oddball side needs to win something now. I think that if Austin won and then it was like, okay, who is Austin going to target? Is it going to be Kiefer? Or is she going to take out Ty or Jed? In terms of like the game staying in this sort of two-sided sort of like there's no power structure kind of thing, that's probably what you're looking for. Or, you know, it could also be Roe or anything like that. It would be straightforward. I mean, the thing about a split house is that the game does become very straightforward because one side wins, they target the other side. The other side wins, they target the other side. There's not a lot of interplay there. If you don't want it to remain split, you could hope for the Sunsetters to win another one. This would probably really crack open the oddballers. And then we would see potentially something else happen. But the problem is that the Sunsetters are just too tight and you have people like Kiefer. This, like, the people that are willing to stay loyal to an alliance, even though it's not good for them, are the people that really aid the steamroll, right? So if Kiefer's really loyal to Ty, Jed, and Beth in the way that it seems like he is based on the diary rooms of the previous episode, then that alliance remaining in power will just run right through, right? And it seems like Vic may also be very loyal to them, you know, based on what she's been doing and the fact that, the reason she got Toya out in the first place is because she could be with them. That would really help them just run right through. So that would be, I think, if you're like, the paranoid anti-steamroll person, which I know many people are after the last like 5 years of Big Brother, then you probably are going to be worried about the Sunsetters, and you probably don't want them to win. But if you are kind of more on the side of like maybe you like the Sunsetters more and maybe you're interested in seeing like maybe Kiefer will betray them. Maybe he'll go off with Tina and Tara if he's able to. Who knows? Then maybe that's the direction you want to go. But it, just like the house, I think there are just so many options and there's not really one solid option to go with.
I don't even know what I want to happen. I'm just kind of like, I think I just got to wait and see because like I'm not really rooting for anybody. I'm not really against anybody that much. Like anybody can kind of go and I'm not hurt. Like, except for right now, Tara, because she's on my stock watch, but I think I'm going to be selling her. I'm not sure if I could stay all in on her. But yeah, it's just really interesting that it's just how this game is moving. It's interesting. So I'll take it. Like I'm not complaining, but I just don't really have a favorite.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds, of course. And tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, the roundtable will return and we will rate the players. Prices will be updated. I guess the best hope the people that bought Kyle have is that somehow this flip goes into play today and it's like set in stone by tonight. And then maybe he only loses a little bit less than what he would have otherwise. But I would not count on it. I would not count on it. So that'll be interesting here tonight. I'm going to release the survey on Twitter at Armstrong Taren after this podcast ends, where you can rate the players yourselves. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I'll be streaming some Fall Guys season 4. Among Us on the weekends, and just chatting about the feeds when things are interesting. So make sure you're following me there so you can be notified when I go live if things are happening on the feeds that are exciting. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night episode, I will be joined by Anthony Douglas, the Lion himself, to talk about the season. Very excited about that. So make sure you tune in tomorrow night. And that's basically what I've got for you. Chantel, what are you up to?
I'm just hanging out on my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. I'm going to maybe start looking at the final season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's something that I might start talking about. So tune in there and maybe you'll see me talking about these siblings.
All right. Well, that's what we got for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. And see you all next time.